you're here. Fellowship sweet up, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Monday. It's May 1st, 2017.
Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. We're going down. I had to do it.
I can't believe you did that. You said you were going to, and you did. So.
Did you see my pause, though? The
yes,
seat that had, maybe won't do it.
Didn't get in there quick enough. That's vintage you, Mark.
Yeah, so it's Mayday here. And one quick announcement, and then I promise to our listeners and the friends that have said, are you going to let Marianne read or not?
Let her read.
Don't get on a tangent or don't bait us throughout the program, and then there's no time at the very end. So in just about a minute, we're going to have you read from your great book that I so appreciate, Memories of an African Son, S-U-N, a recounting of many tales and stories that you've not only told and recounted for us, but you've written it in such a way it almost becomes a devotional or a God-honoring story that has some spiritual truth that's not religious in a sense. So it's
right.
Very well done. I think
Thank you. Many
of the comments you've received have been along those lines. That I so love it. It's refreshing, well-written, interesting, and as I mentioned, I think last week, maybe it was last Monday, where I said you've launched this during our English conversation classes
yeah.
where you're reading excerpts and the students take notes
yeah.
and pay attention. It's been interesting, the great feedback, and they've enjoyed it. And so we might even do that for our listeners sometime. We'll see. That's another one of those ideas
yeah.
that I think warrants praying up and thinking about and maybe saying, hey, on Thursday night, you know, May or June, such and such. We're going to have some light snacks and come and hear some readings from your book. And I think that I think people would be interested in doing that.
That'd be fun.
Would you be interested in doing
sure,
that?
Sure, that'd be
All
fun.
Right, we're halfway there. So get some dates on the calendar and announce it. But one announcement I want to point out is this Saturday, May 6th at 6 p.m., at the Forest Preserve Park in Monticello, right off of Market Street, 1411 North Market Street. It's a free concert. Now, I think they might have a love offering,
mm-hmm.
but don't let that keep you from coming. Just bring out a lawn chair or a blanket or something to sit on. It'll be a free concert, 6 p.m., Singing Men.
Roger got that into the Monticello paper, didn't he?
Yeah, Roger put it together.
Okay.
Did a couple of press releases.
That's Roger
and then
Weisgarber.
Put this poster together. Isn't that well done?
Yes, it is.
I think I commented on this the other day. As all the guys pictured
yeah, it's really
in their
well
tuxedo,
done.
And then he has some of the soloists or
so
other
did
people
Roger
featured.
Put that together,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, Roger.
Oh,
this
goodness.
Is like a Jason quality
Yeah, shout out
pamphlet.
To Roger Weisgarber.
Yeah, he put this all together. Maybe Audrey helped him. I don't know. But Roger's done these things in the past before. Mm. He has a logo there and the information. So it's this Saturday, 6 p.m. at the Forest Preserve Park.
Oh, that'll be
and
so
And it's
pleasant.
Under their open pavilion.
Oh, wow.
So light rain or shine, I think it'll go on.
Yeah.
If it's downpouring,
yeah.
I don't know if that'll alter things.
Ooh.
But the pavilion allows us to sing and be somewhat protected. So.
Oh, I hope it's a beautiful evening.
Yeah, 1411
outside.
North Market Street. Come on, join us. I know the conversational English. I had this out, and all the people were using their phones taking pictures of
really?
It. So we might even get some of our conversational English students
wow.
there. So this Saturday night, 6 p.m. So not too many other updates, so I think we're going to be able to talk a little about this book, which is, incidentally, on sale here at the Great News Radio Center. And Lord willing, tomorrow we'll have Bob Dickey here. We're
yeah.
showing off the new display windows he put in on Friday. We have Gideon's, the Gideon Bibles, and some displays about the Gideon ministry with some brochures and pamphlets about what Gideon's do. And then in our other bay window, there's a big colorful. It's almost like a cartoon. I don't know how you call it.
Yeah, it's
visually appealing.
It is. I learned a lot just standing there looking at it.
Yeah, how to save energy, put together by Eastern Illini Electric Cooperative. And hopefully we'll have Bob in the studio and he can talk about the co-op and
yeah.
it being Energy Safety Month, everyone.
Yeah.
Of course, I think I've heard him say before, every month should be Energy Savings Month. But
probably should.
Throughout this month of May, that will be a featured business in our bay windows here at the Great News Radio Center, located at Lincoln Square,
wow.
which is also where June 10th here at Lincoln Square, Ivan Park. Parker
oh,
with his son Josh and the Singing Men will be putting on a big concert. And we're going to be doing wristbands.
Yeah.
I had somebody come in the other day And he said, how do I get tickets? And I said, well, we're not doing tickets. We're doing wristbands. He goes, well, how do I get my wristbands? And I'm like, well, we were going to give them out the night of the concert, but I can sell them to you but don't forget. You got to wear them. And that way we can identify everyone. So he got his wristbands here. So
people hold on to the tickets for things. Yeah. I mean, they can hold on to their wristbands.
Yep. So those are available here at the Great News Radio Center. If you have to have that wristband, or otherwise we'll have a check-in table and everyone's names will be placed in, whether you're a VIP and you have the meet and greet and the special reception with Ivan earlier before the concert, or you just have the general open seating, which is $10. And that's those that register in advance. If you do it the night of the concert, it's $15. So there's a $5 incentive to get signed up now, and then you can enjoy Ivan Parker on Saturday, June 10th, right here at Lincoln Square. And we're still debating on where to set the stage, whether we'll go the long hallway or this hallway here facing the food court so they can go north and east and west with the seating, and then additional seating in the food court facing out, or whether we'd just use this long hallway in front of the Great News Radio Center and have the staging facing this way. So it all depends on the ticket sales.
Where's Jim Gunther?
Yeah. Still praying that he's healthy and whole and at 100% again. But it'll be nice seating, nice concert, and anyone that's heard Ivan Parker before have really loved and appreciated his presentation. So.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of presentations, we're going to now share the remainder of this program with a reading. Now, I asked you just earlier, is there a special chapter or do you want to set up this reading from your book, Memories of an African Son by Mary Ann Simpkins, who we affectionately know as Mary Ann Offenson.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Actually, I will read just a paragraph from a previous chapter just to kind of give a little background. Okay, so I'm discussing or talking here about our way, way, way far out in the bushlands, hundreds of miles from anything, our mission station.
The boonies, we would say.
Oh, seriously. Okay, and in the middle of this chapter discussing our medical mission, I just have this paragraph I'd like to read before I read.
And you were there with your parents. They were missionaries. Were they part of the medical missionary?
The whole station was part of the medical mission, but no, they were. My father was a teacher in the Bible college that we had started there. And my mother did numerous things, helping babies being born at the hospital, getting clothes for them, so forth and so on, and taught. Okay. A dirt landing strip located at the far edge of our mission station, 2 miles from the mission itself, served as a small plane runway. It just sort of started at one point in the bush, went a little way, and then ended. It basically went nowhere, just sat by itself like that. At times, a plane from one of our other mission stations flew in, with patients in need of medical treatment on board, and a pickup truck from the mission would travel the 2 miles to retrieve the patients and transport them by truck to our hospital. Or one of the missionary bush pilots from elsewhere would land. At the beginning, the first doctor on our mission station had used a small plane to even get into the area at times. What passed as the way in was so bad. Those first so-called dirt roads to the mission station were mostly just elephant grass that seemed to part here and there. So that explains about our little runway airstrip.
When you first began, it was a plane runway. I was like, now with the conversational English group, I'd say, now plane, what do you think that means? P-L-A-I-N, it was very plain, very basic. No, no, this was a plane runway designed for a P-L-A-N-E.
Yeah, you can see where our heads are a lot of days. Yeah. Correcting each other. Now, do you mean?
Yeah, well, I do that with friends now.
That's great. Oh, how nice
Further
of you.
Clarify things.
I bet they
look
love
at
it.
Me like, okay, Mark,
I know English.
What this idiom means. So that's right.
That's so funny. Yeah. So in that chapter, I was just talking about our hospital that had been built, clinic, and how patients would be brought in by ox cart or different things, or many of them walked miles to get there. And some were brought in on small planes from our faraway other bush mission stations. So this is chapter 17, and it's called Answering the Call. I'm not sure how someone flies hundreds of miles in the dark in a small plane over the African bush with no lights anywhere below, but I know of a pilot who did. He came to rescue the youngest child on our mission station, a precious little girl, in the middle of the night. He landed the plane between two lines of fires that we had built along the sides of our mission runway strip to illuminate his touchdown. And then he took off with our little mission girl on board to fly hundreds of miles to the largest city hospital in North Rhodesia. The plane disappeared into the night, its blinking lights fading high in the black sky, leaving us in the darkness with our many kerosene lanterns, the distant light of our hospital glowing faintly, and raging orange-red fires to extinguish. We were living in a time and place where outside communication was slim, with no phones or computers. Getting the word out that something was wrong had been a large undertaking. However, we did have a shortwave radio, and though we didn't know if anyone could hear us, we pounded out the message in the darkness. Our mission doctor had watched that night as his only child grew more and more ill, and after every resource in our hospital had failed to save her, we fell to our knees in prayer. Word of our situation was transmitted through the shortwave radio and desperately relayed forward, and the minutes of sickness and high fever ticked on. And then, the miracle in the night. Word came back to us. Someone was on the way. Many miles away, a pilot, a crop duster by trade, who none of us knew, had heard our frantic message and was at that moment boarding his plane to come for us. The adults on our mission station, both missionaries and Africans, hurried out into the blackness with lanterns and flashlights to clear ground around our small runway strip and set about building large fires to outline its path. The pilot would have to set the plane down between the lines of fire. Our little girl was saved. Many days later, she finally came home, over bumpy roads, back to our mission station with her doctor father and her nurse mother. We loved her so. I cannot forget that night. Out of sheer darkness, help arrived. And a talented man landed a plane between wide lines of fire. The people who rise to the occasion, who do what needs to be done, they are a special breed. The ones who instinctively know they have the skill to do it, and when their turn comes up, they don't shirk. Their years of practice pay off, and they can do the unimaginable. They are my heroes. I've many times watched people worry over what their life purpose is and where they should spend their time, wasting countless hours in the process. And they're often told the quite useful advice, do what you love and God will use it. But you know what? There's something else that is just as true. If we just keep doing our job and learning the skill or the trade in front of us, whether or not we love it, if we apply ourselves, God can also use that. That's what a crop duster pilot did when he heard the faint, frantic cry of some missionaries deep in the bush, trying to get a message out to someone. I have no idea if he liked crop dusting. What I do know is that his many years of maneuvering in that plane, day after day, were all practice for something extraordinarily important in our lives. Paul says in writing to the Ephesians, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Ephesians 2:10. I'm sure there are many ways, mysterious ways, in which God prepares in advance for the good works we will do. But I would guess that in addition to giving us gifts and abilities, one of the ways is simply having us show up for work over and over, like a crop duster who just went to work every day. And when that work was turned over to God, a story that is very often still told occurred. That pilot knew how to fly, and fly he did, on one of the most hazardous journeys I've ever heard of. Deep into the African bush he came, and he flew our girl to safety. I wonder what it looked like to him, as far away in a dark sky he approached us that night, and in the deep darkness saw up ahead below him, appearing out of nowhere, those lines of fire. To this day, I am in awe. Lord, instead of worrying so much about what I should be doing, help me to do what is in front of me. Give me the courage to walk out in the gifts and abilities that you have so graciously placed inside me. And let me never disparage what your word says is also your handiwork, myself. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for making me. And I praise you for each one of us. Help us turn ourselves back over to you, the Creator, and walk out in power, freedom, and truth as your creation. In the name of Jesus, who holds everything together.
And all of God's people said, hey, when you're finished dabbing your eyes and passing that Kleenex to your loved one, wow, how about the conviction that's maybe being felt or thought about? Or what I love about this book, Marianne, is that you were there. Yeah. I mean, these aren't just stories that you just made up. These are actual events. This is a part of your history. Mm. Now, did you help build the fire? Were you just observing it from a room or window?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, you weren't a fire builder.
I wasn't out anywhere near that.
Yeah. You stay home tonight. We're going out now. But I wrote down also, I love this comment, and I think it would preach on a Sunday. Out of sheer darkness, help arrived.
Yeah.
Wow. And how many times might we be at a low point? And Jason has used this term many times, when we have to lean into God, mm-hmm. lean into Christ, where it's beyond us. When we typically surrender and submit ourselves, or we're on our knees, it's a position of, okay, Lord, if anything's going to happen, it's going to have to be you.
Yeah.
It's beyond me, it's beyond my pay grade, beyond my expertise, beyond what I can pull together. And out of the sheer darkness, here help arrived, the light shone. And then you think of all the spiritual parallels. Jesus on the cross. What could be more dark-filled, hopeless than that? And yet he rose from the dead. He's alive. And help is on the way.
Yeah. Those old shortwave radios, I know some people still use them. I mean, that's all we had. And that message just was relayed and relayed and finally hit somebody who could, my goodness, that guy got out in the middle of the night and took off into, talk about sheer darkness.
And I like that verse that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And that I liked how you made that parallel. You know, that crop duster might have had many boring days, many seemingly like, Lord, is this what I'm really called to do? Is there more than, you know, helping these crops? Which is a very important thing, feeding people.
Sure.
And, but he could have seen it as a tedious, boring, kind of redundant thing. But all those pivots and turns and the expertise that allowed him to be proficient at doing that allowed him to land and rescue and help this girl.
Yeah, you know, and that's one thing on our mission station, and I mentioned it earlier, I think, or later in the book. So many people who were there were not like your typical preacher, or, you know, they were like mechanics or welders, or, and they were like keeping us running. They were the backbone. They were it. They were the reason that there was a clinic that operated, a generator that could help when they needed to do surgery, because they started out at that station under a fig tree with one tent and a doctor and a nurse and hundreds of African people who needed help. And over the years, slowly they added, and it was those people who did it.
Yeah. Well, I think so many times, because the pastor, the teacher, the preacher gets raised up or featured, but most every pastor, teacher, preacher that I know that has been successful will say, if it wasn't for my office manager, if it wasn't for the maintenance people, if it wasn't for those that are cutting the grass on Sunday, if it wasn't for the Sunday school superintendent or those teaching the classes, you know, my efforts or energies couldn't be received, because all these other things allow everything to function. So there is a building, so it is maintained, so people can come somewhere. And then those that support it financially. financially, those that are praying behind the scenes, those that help in so many different ways. And that's kind of one of the lessons I was learning as you were reading that, is we all can make a difference.
Absolutely.
And it may seem insignificant or simple, or we have a very backstage or behind-the-scenes role, but God's kingdom, how he measures things, you know, the first will be last, the last will be first.
Nothing's backstage to God.
No, many times those are the most significant.
Oh, they can be, absolutely.
So, now this book, it's available at the Great News Radio Center, I believe. Oh, wow, there's some right out there. So, and it's $15?
It is. That's our price. That's a little bit below what it sells on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, so... It's a good place to get it.
Right here at the Great News Radio Center, Lincoln Square. Come on over, and we'll have multiple copies available. I'm hoping one of these days I'm going to say, Marianne, you got to bring some more here. We're all sold out.
Well, but I had to bring like 20 more.
Yeah, well, I know. All the conversational
yeah,
English
they all bought
students
one.
Bought one. I was like, what a windfall.
Yeah.
It was an idea Holly had. She said, why don't you start an advanced conversational English class, and Marianne could read from her book. And I thought about it for about maybe 10 seconds, and I thought, that's a great idea.
Oh,
and you were like,
you.
Are you sure? And
yeah.
I'm like, Marianne, they'll be honored that the author is reading to them, and it's a very colorful book and well-written and interesting. And Holly was telling me in the WeChat, they were like, wow, I'm learning about Africa and American history and earlier times.
Yeah.
I mean, the 20th century, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know,
half a
30,
century
40,
goes
50
early
years
to most
ago.
Of those kids.
Yeah, they're very young. And so well done. It's called Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, affectionately known here as Marianne Offenstein. And I think you'll really enjoy the book. What? I think you have 60 kind of devotional thoughts. Well, I call them devotional thoughts. 60 memoirs or like memories all written out with kind of some great creative thoughts. So how many pages on here? I'm looking 295. So just under 300 pages. Excellent. All right. That's a great value, everyone. Pick them up at the Great News Radio Center. And be tuned in for tomorrow. I hope to have Bob Dickey in the studio to talk about Eastern Illini Electric Cooperative and the Gideon Ministry that are being featured in our bay windows here at the Great News Radio Center.
As my friend Dee Cheshire says, she's from Minnesota, Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
Lord willing and the creek don't rise. And I think there used to be this other guy, he's a radio station guy, and he said something about putting a little water in the soup or something
to
stretch it out. He always had
We're
that
going country
line.
On everybody.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great day.